appreciate what we've heard. Another element to that faith is that the thing that energizes our faith is love. Faith which worketh by love. And that word worketh means the energy of our faith is love. If we feel like our faith is a little weak, maybe we need to remember the love of God. Maybe we need to remember how much He has done for us. Maybe we need to remember how thankful we are that He has blessed and delivered us. So I'll add that 2 cents to what Brother Kenneth has brought before us this morning. I want to move from that. Faithfulness. That's a powerful subject, isn't it? Is it needful? You know, this church has been here a long time. If it hadn't been for God's mercy and blessings first, but a faithful response to that by individuals, there probably wouldn't be a Piney Grove Primitive Baptist Church here. You know, doesn't it sadden you when you drive past a building and you see a church that was once flourishing and now it's a place for the owls and the bats. There comes a time in our experience where those who've been faithful in the past have to hand off the baton to those of us who are still here. And whether we're faithful or not, you know, when Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The answer to that question is yes. Because he'll have a witness somewhere. But will it be found here at Piney Grove? Will it be found with us? Good message, good admonition, good lesson for us to sink down in our heart and take it home with us and think about it in the days to come. In addition to that, what's on my mind this morning, that we should be raised and alive for God. Now, if you're faithful to God, if your faith is strong, then you ought to be. Well, you are raised, and we need to be alive for God. I mean for Him. Now, He doesn't need any help, right? But He calls upon us to be faithful. He calls upon us to let our light shine. He told us not to put our, not to have our light under a bushel, right? So who's seeing our light? Is anybody seeing the light that's coming forth from us? Who's seeing it? Who's benefiting from it? We're supposed to be putting it on a candlestick so that it can be a blessing to all that are in the house. Whether it's this house, whether it's your home, whether it's your workplace, whatever the case might be, we need to be letting our light shine so that others can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The only way they can see the good works is because He's worked in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and we're to take that and let it shine. All right? Wednesday night, we talked about the characters in the Old Testament that were raised from the dead. You know, there were several of them, weren't they? You know, Elijah had an experience one time, and he was sent out to the brooks, Kedron, and for a while the ravens fed him, but then the brook dried up, and he had to go to Zarephath, The lady there, the widow there that sustained him, she and her son was going to eat the last bit of meal that they had and die. Elijah told her to make me a cake. I won't go into that too much of that story, but bless your hearts, we find that the son later got sick and died. And God, he called upon God. Now I want to make that point of emphasis first. These prophets of old, and even the instances in the New Testament, those men did not have the power to to bring those people to life. But they called upon God. Why? Because God has the power over death. And he has shown us that power time and time again. Okay? God has manifested that power in the Old Testament, both in the ministry of Elijah and in the ministry of Elisha. There were people that were raised from the dead after they called upon God for the power that they needed. Well, we as believers need to call upon God for the power that we need to help us in our lives. Okay? So God came, let me put it this way. God showed up with power over death. And he's shown that to us time and time again in the scriptures. Then when he sent his son to this world, he came to save his people from their sin, didn't he? Why did he need to save them from their sins? Because they were dead in trespasses and sins. They needed life. How does that come? From God alone. Jesus showed up with power over death. He's the one who has the life-giving voice. Remember John 5:25? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Every time that voice is given, it's effectual. All right? That's not the voice of the preacher. That's not the voice of the prophet. That's the life-giving voice of the Son of God. Amen. The Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so that power that was manifested in the Old Testament by those prophets when they called upon God and God showed up with power over death, Jesus did the same thing. You know what that tells me? Jesus is God. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what did Jesus do? Well, he went about doing good, but he also raised the dead on several occasions. And I want to take a few minutes to look at those. There was one where there was a widow of Nain, and she only had one son, and he died. And they were carrying him to be buried. When they got to the gate of the city, the Lord met them. And guess what? He totally broke up that funeral. Didn't he? Who else could do that? Who else was going about doing that? Only Jesus. And so when we find, and that you'd find that in Luke chapter 7. But he told them, he stopped them, he touched the Bible word is bier, the coffin. And he said, arise. And the young man stood up. Oh, bless your hearts. Think about such power that Jesus manifested. Power over death. All right? Then we find in Luke chapter 8, a man by the name of Jairus. His little girl was sick. She was 12 years old. And he comes to Jesus. And he makes his plea. My little girl is sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. And we could spend some time there, but I'm not going to because I want to go to other places. But as he begins to go with Jairus, another woman shows up. And she comes behind him in the press and touches the hem of his garment. Now she'd been suffering for 12 years. All those years that Jairus had his little girl, this woman had been suffering with an issue of blood. And she'd been to all the physicians. She'd spent all that she had and she was nothing bettered. You ever been there? Go to the physicians of this world and not get any help. It happens all the time, doesn't it? But not with this physician. Bless your hearts, we find that while he stopped And when she came up behind and just touched the hem of his garment, he stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" I love that, don't you? His disciples were amazed. They said, "Lord, you're being thronged by the multitude and you're saying, who touched me?" But he perceived that virtue, that she touched him unlike any other that was touching him that day. Immediately, she was healed. And when he said, "Who touched me?" then she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Well, if you remember what I said, he was going to heal Jairus' daughter. I love the way this passage is put together, because it shows you that as Jesus is going with Jairus to heal his daughter, he stops and ministers to someone else. So what about Jairus? Can't you imagine how impatient he is when she's telling him all the truth and he's just patiently standing there and listening to everything that she wants to say? And his little daughter is about to die. Jesus didn't need to be in any hurry. Jairus was the one that was in a hurry. Jesus couldn't get there fast enough for Jairus. He didn't need to be in any hurry. He knew what he was going to do. And after that woman that had the issue of blood told him all the truth, there were some that came from Jairus' house and said, "Why troublest thou the master any further? Your daughter is dead." Can you imagine getting such a message as that? Can you imagine the flood of emotions that Jairus must have felt? And maybe even thought, "Lord, if you'd have just kept going with me, maybe you would have gotten there in time." Have you ever had thoughts like that? When something didn't turn out in your favor? He didn't need to be in any hurry. He has power over death. And he showed up. He went with Jairus after that. He raised that little girl from the dead, even though he told them she's not dead, she's just sleeping. Well, she was dead. And he's not telling an untruth there. But his purpose was to raise her from the dead. So it didn't matter whether death was holding her at the moment. He was going to raise her up. It was just like she was sleeping to him. Because he has the life-giving voice that he can raise the dead. I don't know how long that man had been dead, that the widow of Nain's son. But he raised him, no problem. And so he raised Jairus' daughter. I won't take time to go to the passage, but you, I take it that you're familiar with the passage. They laughed him to scorn when he said, "She's not dead, but sleeping." They laughed him to scorn. I tell you, it bothers me when I hear folks like that. It bothers me when I see folks that have no regard for the holiness of God, for the power of God, for who he is. But we have a lot of that in our world today, don't we? Let it not be named once among us. He has shown us that he is good, he's merciful, that he's all powerful. All right? So he raised Jairus' daughter. Can you imagine the great gulf between the sorrow and all the flood of emotions that Jairus was experiencing when he got the word that she was dead? But can you imagine the joy when he received his little girl from the dead? God has power. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is the one who has the power over death. Let's get Lazarus. We all know about Lazarus, don't we? Not the beggar, but Mary and Martha's brother. Lazarus was sick. They sent to Jesus. He whom thou lovest is sick. They expected that he would just come right on over and heal Lazarus and everything would be fine. Right? They even said afterwards, Lord, if you'd have been here, you have to consider those kind of words, don't you? Lord, if you'd have been here, as if you didn't do what you should have done, who are we to tell God what he should do?
Amen.
Yeah. But Jesus showed up. Now, they got word that Lazarus was sick. And early on, Jesus told them, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And the disciples didn't quite understand yet, but Jesus plainly told them, Lazarus is dead. But he waited 3 days before he came to Mary and Martha. 3 days. When we find Jesus coming to Mary and Martha, they both told him, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But let me read a little bit on this one. I want to read a little bit about what Jesus had to say to Martha. Because this tells us a great deal about what we can expect in life. A lesson that we need. Because we believe God, okay? But sometimes it takes us a little while to come around, don't it? We believe God. We know he's able. We know he has all power. And I'm satisfied that Mary and Martha had a good understanding of truth. Jesus had been teaching them about the resurrection. Martha acknowledged she knew something about the resurrection. But listen, I'm in John chapter 11, and Jesus is speaking to Martha. When Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto him, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So at least she understood and trusted that there would be a resurrection, that he would rise again. But there was something else that she needed to know. So he goes on to say, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Brethren, when Jesus showed up, he showed up with power to raise the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever, all right, so he's saying two things here. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. All right, so first of all, believers who pass the scene of this life, someday they're going to be raised again and taken home to be with him in glory. Now, in the meantime, their spirit and soul is with the Father, is with the Lord in paradise. It's what Jesus told the thief at his side. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There's no halfway house. There's no praying and praying and praying to try to get somebody to heaven after they die. They immediately go to his presence where they breathe out their last. So he says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So there's that idea. But then he also says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, wait a minute, Lord. And he says, believest thou this? Shall never die? We bury our loved ones from time to time. We see that body. We see them breathe out their last. And the Lord said, he that believeth in me shall never die. You believe that? Amen. Yes. I believe that because I've already explained that to you. For the believer, as soon as he breathes out his last, there is no in between. He doesn't die and then later awake in heaven. There is no in between. He immediately is in the presence of God. He does not die. He may depart this body. This body may be put in the grave, but that believer does not die. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that wonderful to know that truth? Haven't you seen some that sorrowed and sorrowed and sorrowed? And sorrow is going to be a part of that separation. It's hard. But we don't have to sorrow as those which have no hope. We may sorrow tremendously for our loss, and we will. But we don't have to sorrow as those which have no hope. For the believer, when we breathe out our last, we awake immediately in the presence of God, waiting the morning of the resurrection, when Jesus will come again, and when he'll bring those souls and spirits of the believers who have departed this life and raise these bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body and reunite us, and we'll meet him in the clouds and we'll be home, or be taken home to be with him forever. Oh, what a blessed hope this is that we have in the Lord if we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe in him. Bless your hearts. We'll never die. Never die. What a blessing that is. All right? So, God raised Lazarus. I want to point out something before I get to him being raised. When they got to the point where Jesus told them to take away the stone, and Martha said, well, Lord, by now he stinketh. Been dead 4 days. Corruption set in here. All right? Listen to what Jesus said in verse 40. John 11, verse 40. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see, what? The power of God? Oh, they were going to see the power of God. They were going to see him exercise power over death. That's not what he said right there. If thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. Do you know why it's the glory of God? Because he's the only one that can do this. Didn't Jesus say, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God? Yes. And when Jesus exercised his power over death, you're looking at the glory of God, because God is the only one that can do that. And on this occasion, he's doing it through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Oh, as we think about the glory of God, the one who raises the dead. All right? Now I got a question for you. How is it that you can rejoice in these truths? Yes, it's believing. But how is it that we believe? How is it, you know, there may be some who would read this and be impressed in their mind, but not affected in their heart. There might be some that would recognize the fact that Jesus was the only one going around raising the dead. But bless your hearts, The only way that you can have an appreciation and a respect and a reverence and rejoice in the fact that God has the power over death is because there's a sense in which he has also raised you from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. If he hadn't done that for you, you wouldn't have an appreciation for these truths. You wouldn't have an appreciation for the fact that he's the only one that can raise the dead. And so we find then that since God has blessed us with his life, God has blessed us with his spirit, God has raised us from a death in sins to a life in Christ, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to live your life under a bushel? Are you not going to let any light shine forth to others? Bless your hearts. If God has done this wonderful thing for us, then we ought to be praising him every day we live. And that's what Peter was saying, that we should show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, you don't have to go around all 24/7 saying, you know, talking about what God has done for you. It's good for you to talk about what God's done for you. But you should be living your life in such a way that shows forth his praises. You should be making choices in your life that shows forth that you're honoring his word. You should be walking in such a way that's pleasing in his sight. You know, like Brother Kenneth was saying, that there's going to come times in our life where we're going to have tribulation. We're going to be faced with troubles and problems and heartaches and sorrows. But when we can go through those things, trusting the one who has power over death, bless your hearts, that's when your light is shining. That's when you're giving praise to God. When life is hard, but you're still honoring the Lord in the way you live. That's letting your light shine. So when we think about how the only way that we can appreciate these things that we've been talking about, and the way that God has raised them from the dead, the Lord Jesus has manifested the fact that he has power over death. The only way we can appreciate that is because he's raised us from our death in sins to life in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he's speaking to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Is that optional? Not by that language. Ye must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. It has to be in order for you to be able to see not only the kingdom, but that means before you can see the king, before you can know who the king is, before you can appreciate that he has power over life and death. And so we find Jesus taught this in several different ways. As far as you must be born again, Paul says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is the time when Philip was sent to preach to a eunuch. And the eunuch was reading. He was in a chariot. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? And it says, Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. All right? Now, where he was reading from was what we know as Isaiah 53, and was speaking about what Jesus suffered and how he pleased the Father in the work that he accomplished. All right? But after Philip preached unto him, they came to water. All right? I'm going to read a little bit in Acts chapter 8. And as they went, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, let's see now. In preaching Jesus and what Jesus accomplished, somehow or another, this eunuch understood there was a need for baptism. And you know what baptism is? It's a response to God. It's a response to Him for what He has worked in you. Okay? All right? So it says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Believe what? Does it matter what we believe? Absolutely. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That says he's more than a man. That says he's more than a prophet. That says he's God manifest in the flesh. Was that satisfactory to Philip? Philip commanded the chariot to be still. And they went down into the water. And he baptized the eunuch. And they came up out of the water. I emphasize going into and out of, because he didn't just sprinkle the eunuch. It was water baptism. It was immersion where he was let down and raised back again. Do you know why it has to be that way? It has to be that way to satisfy what it represents. It represents that we're identifying ourselves with the one who died and rose again for us. That's what water baptism is. We identify ourselves with Jesus who died and rose again. So when we let somebody down into the water and lift them up out of the water, that's symbolic of dying and rising again. That's what baptism is all about. And by the way, it's believers' baptism. It's believers. That's what Philip said. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he confessed, Jesus, I believe, he said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Bless your hearts. That tells me he was a fit candidate for baptism. And so Philip baptized the man, and Philip went on his way rejoicing. And I believe that eunuch did too, didn't he? All right? Okay. So baptism. So when he's raised us from a death in sins to a life in Christ, he's made us aware that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. And that baptism doesn't wash away our sins. It gives us an answer of a good conscience. In other words, when we have an awakened conscience because the Spirit of God is dwelling within us and we realize that we're a sinner, then we realize that the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we identify ourselves with Him, bless your hearts, then we understand that He's the one that died to put away our sin debt. And bless your hearts, when we identify ourselves with Him, it answers that wounded conscience that awakening has given us, that guilt that we felt. Because Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If he's given us his Spirit, if he's wakened us to our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, then bless your hearts, that conscience, that wounded conscience, that guilty conscience gets a good answer when we come and identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as we think about how he has raised us from a death in sins to a life in him. Now, what do we do about it? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be faithful to Him? We're going to honor His word? You know, I've known some mighty good folks in this life, and I hope I can honor their memory. But the one I want to honor the most is the one that loved us and gave Himself for us to save us from our sins. And He's given us His word. This is the revealed will of God. And we're to take this word, and it's to be our rule of faith and practice. And we're to walk according to this word. We're to walk according to the teaching of this word. We're to walk and make our decisions in life based upon what we understand would please God. But not only do we have this, we have His Spirit within us to lead us and guide us, and if necessary, to convict us, but to show us God's will so that we can be found walking before Him in a way that's pleasing in His sight. Let's go to John 17. John 17. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, when He's praying unto the Father before that in the Garden of Gethsemane, listen to what He says. Father, John 17, Father, the hour's come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Listen, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. How much power does He have? Over all flesh. Okay. That He should give eternal life to all flesh? No, that's not what it says. That He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Those are the ones Jesus came to save. And so in verse 3, He says, and this is life eternal. Do you want to know what life eternal is? Do you want to know how it's manifested? Do you want to know how we can have evidence that we have life eternal? And this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. There's a lot of Jesuses preached in this world. Sometimes it's almost like He's begging for somebody to accept what He did. But He has power over all flesh. And so we find that if we know God, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent, if we know the Jesus of the Bible, we know one who has power over all flesh. He is the only one who has the life-giving voice. He's the only one that can raise us from a death in sins to a life in Christ, so that then we can hear the gospel and respond to the gospel because we have spiritual life. If we know that Jesus, bless your hearts, that we know Him, we have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Kenneth started out saying, do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father? Do you believe that He died and rose again? Do you believe that His blood is the only blood that can pay for our sins? Do you believe He died for you? Well, if you know Him, you've got eternal life. If you know that Jesus, I'm not talking about it just in the head, I'm talking about it in the heart. If you know that Jesus, bless your hearts, then you have life eternal. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I can quote this, but I will make sure. Verse 12. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. You think the Bible's hard to understand? Well, some of it's pretty plain. And I'm going to give you a verse that the biggest word in this verse has four letters. Four letters. That's the largest word in the whole verse. But it says this. He that hath the Son. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about the only begotten of the Father. He that hath the Son hath life. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Oh, as we think about, only God has the power over death. Jesus manifested that power when he was here on earth. During his earthly ministry, he manifested the fact. Not only did he show it by raising the dead on multiple occasions, but we also find that he himself raised himself from the dead. In John chapter 10, he said, no man taketh my life from me. Now those wicked men that crucified him, they did everything they could to take his life. But they didn't take it forcibly. He gave it up. Right? He said on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Right? So when we think about it, he's the only one that has this power. And if he's blessed us with his spirit, he's blessed us with eternal life, if he's blessed us to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, if he's blessed us to know that, then he has raised us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. We've already experienced that first resurrection. Jesus died and rose again. If we were in him, we died in him. When we were in him, and we arose in him when he arose. So bless your hearts. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So as we think about what he has done for us, the fact that he has raised us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. That's the only way we can rejoice in the gospel. That's the only way we can hear it, is that we have spiritual life. Bless your hearts. After the longest lesson that we have in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that chapter ends where Paul is saying, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Faithful. I believe that means faithful. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bless your hearts. That's what we need to be doing. We're living in a world today where there's so many that have turned away from God. There's so many that thinks that government ought to be able to provide everything, and we ought to look to our government as our God. No, we're not. They're not our God. There's one true and living God. He sent his Son to this world to save us from our sins. And he did it. And we're safe in the blood of Jesus. And may God help us that every day we live, we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is that? Being faithful to God, doing those things which are pleasing in his sight, doing things that shows forth the love of God to others. Whatever opportunity we find at our hand, let us do it in such a way that God gets the glory and that we're just being used as a vessel to do his will. Bless your hearts, that's what we need to be doing as we live our lives. Sometimes we might need, you know, that quote by Sir Francis of Assisi that everywhere we go, we should preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. Sometimes we need to say those things that bring glory and honor to his matchless name. Other times we need to do those things which bring glory and honor. Because when we do those things before men, it lets our light shine. It glorifies God. He's the one that gets the glory. Bless your hearts, we're just the faithful servants. When we've done all that he's commanded, we're supposed to say, we're unprofitable servants. We've only done what we were commanded to do. Oh, but may God help us that we would be letting our light shine. May God help us that we would be in this word to know the will of God so that we can live in this life. You know, this world, as far as righteousness is concerned, this world is getting darker by the day. And it's only God's people that can let that light shine. And I just wonder if some of that darkness is because God's people are not letting the light shine like they should. Do you think? May God help us to let our light shine before men, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. May God help us to realize that once He's raised us, we need to be alive to Him and do those things which are pleasing unto Him. May God help us to look for ways. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying I think there's probably always room for improvement.
Amen.
Look for ways each day that we can shine forth the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the power of God to others. May we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless you is our prayer.